Ready?
Yeah, we can do this again since everything that we just recorded for the first 10 minutes
it was so much
did
fun.
Not get recorded.
Hey, it's like me making the videos alone when I used to come back after filming for like 3 days, like 3 hours, come back, I'm exhausted, like, oh, all right, but I killed it, I got it. And then I go into my computer and insert the memory card, and then you realize that there's like 3 pictures of you.
No,
you're like, no
I remember it even when I started with it. You would give me that footage, and I'd be like,
"There's
Allie,
nothing here.
There's like 31 second clips on here. What is going on?"
Well, let's not lose tradition here. Today's Friday, June 9th, 2017. To my left, I got Pedro. On my right, I got Farghini. I'm Alejandro, and let's talk about cars, yo. Hit it, Pedro. Did you just shit yourself?
Did you just shit yourself?
You know what? I think it was the dance super subs from yesterday.
Can I reveal something to you guys?
Yeah.
Last week, for the first time in my life, I shit my pants at Trader Joe's.
What?
No, you did not. And why are you revealing that on a podcast?
Because there's no video.
You did it for the first time in your life?
Yeah.
Where it was,
you thought it was a fart, like a casual fart, and it was...
So you sharted.
Yeah. I figured it
you
out.
You sharted.
This is why yesterday Farshad said that he doesn't want to do long walks in front of people anymore. This is what happened. That was the moment when he realized I'm no longer making long distance walks in front of people, which makes no sense.
Incredible. Incredible. Honestly, incredible, Farghini.
And then I'm at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Like right when I walk, and then I go, what do I do now? Like, what am I supposed to do?
No, you might as well just go back to bed and getting the sheets and fuck it. You might restart your day with a shower.
Soft, warm, squishy walk.
Oh, man. Yeah. What
what were you shopping for there, by the way?
Just essentials for my new place. Literally the basics.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second, Farghini. So, speaking of shit, because this is what we're talking about. This is a good transition. Really because good. We're talking about shit, shitty things.
Wow.
Let's talk about like the
lobbed
shittiest.
Lobbed it up and hit it out of the park with that one.
Let's talk about the shittiest cars that exist today that everyone still thinks are legendary. And by that I mean, let's not talk about the Aztec because we all know it's a piece of shit. Let's not talk about the DeLorean because we all know it's a piece of shit.
Hey, that's
let's
a great car.
No, Pedro, it's a verified piece of shit.
It's a verified piece of shit.
Like history makes it a great car.
If you go on pieceofshit.com, the DeLorean's verified.
Yeah, let me put it this way. let me put it to you this
Wait,
way.
We couldn't even get verified.
let me put it to you this way. The owner of DeLorean will not talk to me anymore because of the experience we had with 3 DeLoreans.
Oh, on the other show?
I try to contact him. He wants nothing to do with me.
No, or with anyone that wants a car that works.
Wow.
He'd be like very disappointed. I want to talk about like those cars that still are very highly regarded, if you will, and turn out to be pieces of shit. And I asked you that question in the morning, and we all had different ideas. Farghini, what did you end up with?
Mine's going to be the Vector. Do you remember the Vector?
How can the Vector is one of those famous cars that everyone thinks like, oh, they must be special if you see them on the street. Can you please tell everyone what a Vector is or was?
So Vector was an American car. It was actually built in like Wilmington or like that, like literally like in Long Beach.
Did you know that?
It was built down here. They were in production from 89 to 93, the original, because there was other people that bought them and stuff like that. And so the pitch was America's like super hyper supercar, right? 1,000 horsepower, this, that, all that kind of stuff. So then they got a call from Andre Agassi.
Hang on a second. And look, for those of you guys who don't know what a Vector is, it's exactly what Farshad said. And it looked on the outside like a Lamborghini. It looked like a Diablo, like a Countach.
More
extreme Lamborghini. That's what it looked like. That's why I know the car and that's why it's so legendary because people look at it and it's like, that's like a souped up Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Exactly. So Agassi orders one.
Yeah.
They were $455,000.
Back in the day.
Back in late 80s, 90s, how much is that?
That is literally when the McLaren F1 came out. That today is like $1 million.
Exactly. So it was McLaren numbers kind of dollars.
Can you imagine being the owner of Vector, like the Vector guy, and it's like, yeah, McLaren and I developed our cars at the same time. No shit, the F1 selling for $30 million. How's your thing going?
Let me check Craigslist.
He goes, can I borrow $20?
It kind of is like that.
Oh, no, I hope not.
So Agassi orders a car, 450. So they're like, we're set because Andre Agassi. And you remember Andre Agassi?
Oh, I loved Agassi. He was the man.
Legendary tennis player for all of those of you guys who don't know who. I don't know why you wouldn't know. I guess because you would be too young. But there you go.
And he was half Persian, by the way. I just want to point.
No, he was not. Father, Agassi father, was
no white. Way he was.
That last name is a Persian last name. Agassi.
Well, if I pronounce everything in Mexican,
everything
he was
Mexican.
Agassi. Andres Agassi. No, that dude's so, Mexican now.
So the cars were hand-built. So they're building his car. He's not patient. He wants it. He goes, send me the car. They're like, it's not done. He's like, send me the car. They're like, all right, you can only show it. Don't drive it. Gets the car, gets in, drives it. I believe it catches on fire.
No.
Nice. So did he have any partnerships with Lamborghini?
I think later Lamborghini or some bottom or some whatever. So they return his money so that it doesn't turn into this huge
problem.
PR.
Yeah. Nightmare.
And they just were never able to recover.
They never came back from that?
No. But also
so it was still a PR nightmare no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So good move.
Go look at the interior pictures online. I mean, they had like this like cockpit screen. It was like technology from F-14. Like, if you look at it now, like my daughter's like, I don't know, the handheld like game has more processing power.
Like her Game Boy.
Yeah, like it has more processing
Holy
power.
Holy shit, of course.
That. And all the 1,000 horsepower, this and that. I was thinking him and Fisker, like, can you imagine if they got together? What kind of press releases we would have?
Oh, they'd be a power couple.
Oh.
Press
releases. And they could save money on the press releases.
That in that they rent the same press release plays because I don't know why people still do press releases when you can just go live on your Instagram. But okay,
I think that they do these press releases just to get like their ideas off their chest, like just to get it out there. Like we should start a social media site that's just called Press Release.
No,
and you just go on there and you just talk shit.
I'm gonna make this a thing. I'm actually gonna do a press release by Fisker as a skit. We're finally gonna do it. Yes, period. Yes, we're not getting out of this one. This is why I'm saying it right now.
Yes. And the company's gonna be called Whisker.
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 The Whisker.
By the way, it's getting really hot in here. I'm just gonna turn on the AC. Hold on.
Are you really?
That's gonna be awesome for sound.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Perfect.
Okay. Here we go. Fargini,
we want to see you sweat a little bit.
Turn it on if you want to. If you want to.
So okay, Pedro, what do you got?
So mine is the Apollo, and I'm not talking about the Apollo
Arrow.
I'm talking about the Gumpert Apollo.
Oh, wait, Apollo Creed?
The Gumpert Apollo.
Apollo Creed wound up better than the Gumpert Apollo. I promise
now,
you.
Now, my son, you went savage on that one because a lot of people I know still, until today, think that Gumpert Apollo is an actual good car.
No, they really do. And for some reason, I don't understand it because people love these cars that are called street legal race cars, but yet when you put it on the street, it feels terrible.
Horrible.
Like,
horrible.
Awful, awful, awful. Like the interior cabin of this thing is.
Hang on, before that, you want to describe what the Gumpert Apollo is to those who don't know?
So the Gumpert Apollo basically looks like a Bugatti Veyron that somebody with giant hands karate chopped it all over.
Yep.
And then kicked it and said, you know what, you're going to be a race car, but you're street legal and it's. The specs of his 4.7 liter V8 twin turbo engine had 690 brake horsepower. The price on it was somewhere in like the 270 to
back
300
day, yeah.
Pounds. Right now, you can get them for 330 US dollars.
No. Hang on. You can get if you're a moron.
If you're a moron, you can get one. But it just goes to show you how well the car actually did because it like there's not much appreciation on a car that supposedly is.
What's incredible is that just with those very little. Because do you know how many cars they made? They made less than 10.
I think the Apollo S they made 10, but they made a few more
of the other one.
Of the other one,
okay.
Yeah, I think so.
So with that little amount of cars. Where they got lucky is the word didn't get around about how shitty they were.
Right.
I actually got a guy fucking tool bag try to sell me one back in the day.
Yeah.
And he shows up in the car to O'Gara and shows me how he's getting out by taking off the steering wheel and his fat ass could barely get out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? You're showing me everything that no one should ever see in a car because no one wants this. The dude is stuck. Like, there's no way of getting in and out of the car.
It's definitely proven itself on the track. I mean, it held the top lap time on Top Gear for the longest while. Like, it was a very, very well-performing car on the track. But it felt like you were on the track, you know, like or like you were supposed to be on the track. Like you had no visibility behind you. You didn't have any way to like really see to your left and your right. The four point harness system had you glued against a wall, basically.
The wall between like the door and getting in and out of the car is
impossible.
Humongous. humongous. Yeah. Like, you have to throw your ass in, like, blindly trusting that there's a seat inside of the car.
Honestly, that's kind of... That has me worried about some of the new cars that are coming in 2019, especially like with the Valkyrie and
they're going to have a huge tub.
The Mercedes hypercar. I think a lot of them are going to be going even with the BP23, like the three seater. I think that a lot of these people aren't quite sure of like how to maneuver in and out of these cars and like what that's going to do to you. Like it,
I know a lot of people like whenever you meet a guy, any person that's not a car guy or a car girl. They'll look at a car like the McLaren, right, and say, that's a beautiful car. The moment you open the door and you tell them, get in, they look at you like you're a fucking idiot for paying so much money and having to deal with that problem.
Dealing with those problems.
Getting in and out, just that alone.
Like the you can't go over speed bumps.
And you kind of start wondering, am I really that stupid? But, you know, there's people that bought the Gumpert Apollo for the street.
That's a horrible name, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Gumpert Apollo? It's Gumpert Apollo. I think it was Roland Gumpert and Roland Mayer combined together to make this car.
I call it a Roland something, though. Like Roland...
they're both named Roland.
The Roland squared or Roland F2000.
The Roland Arrow.
The Roland Arrow.
Yeah. Or the Roland Apollo.
But I got to say, with their Arrow... And we don't know much about it. We know that the Chinese company invested in them or bought them, right?
Yes.
That's a car I'm really excited about. When
we saw that in Geneva, I was like, wow, I really want to get my hands on one of these and go play with it. But
that didn't turn out that well for everyone.
It didn't. Well, because, I mean, they were active from like, they were in production from like 2000 to 2012, and they made like 12 cars.
That's not bad. One every 3 years or something. I can't do the math. But like.
That's not too good. But what about you?
Oh, mine is an easy one. Although everyone regards it, because I was talking about it and Rodrigo's here, and I go, you know what car is a real piece of shit? And Rodrigo looks at me, he's like, what? The Saleen S7. And he goes, what? The car from Bruce Almighty? No way. That's a sick car.
No, that's surprising. That surprises me.
I promise you, the biggest piece of shit in the world, not only they never work, first, Farshad, Pedro, you guys don't fit in the car. I hope you know that.
I've heard that multiple times.
You don't fit in the car. Promise you, I barely fit in the car.
I'm 5'11",
and I have big feet. I'm 11 and a half or 12, depending on what type of shoe. And my left foot can't touch the clutch all the way in because of how small it is. And also, you're not facing forward. You're facing left or right. No, you're facing right.
It's offset.
It's a legitimate piece of shit. So the car I'm talking about is the Saleen S7. It was supposed to be, or it was destined to be, America's first mid-engine supercar back in the day in the 2000s. That's where they made it. And it was an American car, you want to know this, built in the UK.
That's amazing.
I promise you, and they were calling it an American car.
That's a good thing it was built in the UK. As opposed to Long Beach.
Not really. Not really.
Wait, do you think your car that was built in Long Beach is now Fluffy's Garage?
It could be. We gotta ask him. By the way, did you just inadvertently tell us you're hung?
No.
Okay.
No, don't worry about it.
The way you said your
feet,
you got into about how big your
feet are. People make fun of how big my fucking feet are in my hands.
So is that why they call you tripod?
I wish.
he's hung like Parliament.
I don't know what that joke goes to.
Too sophisticated.
Oh man,
Pedro has never watched the show.
UK election joke. Rodrigo, Rodrigo, you get it, right?
Farshad and I are just looking at each other, confused.
Rodrigo got my joke, guys.
If you would have said caca poo-poo, we would have laughed.
Dick. So the Saleen S7 was that car that everyone was really rooting for, and it looks extreme. It looks good. There's a couple. That's why. Yeah. So a couple of collectors that are known have bought a few, but they just don't work.
You know why they don't work? Because he doesn't have money to put into R&D.
I know. So the car didn't work at all. The cars don't work at all. They're not that fast. They're not that great on the track either. And they're just incredible pieces of shit to drive on, like, daily drive. It's actually, I want to say, one of the most impossible, if not hardest, cars to drive. Not because you need to be good at it. It's just because it's bad. It's that bad.
Can I tell you, that
car was featured on Bruce Almighty, just so that people know and are familiar with it. That was Jim Carrey's very own car. And Jim Carrey is one of my personal heroes. He's fucking legendary.
You think he still has it? I don't think he still has it.
I hope he's just, if he still has it, it's in a museum or something sitting.
He drives a Tesla.
Yeah.
He also said that he had a McLaren. I don't know. He didn't say which model, but he's like, He's like, driving down the road, you're in a McLaren and you're Jim Carrey. And so all everyone wants to do is like take pictures, and he's like, you can't drive.
Can you imagine?
It's too dangerous to drive.
Yeah, no, you can't.
That's why he went to the beard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his incognito.
That's right.
He's a huge fan of the Teslas.
You know one thing I don't like about cars from that era?
What?
I don't like the single piece bodies, like the S7. Like, it looks like it's just a single piece that's just laid on top of a frame in a car.
Oh, no.
Kind of similar to the F40 as well. Like, to me, it doesn't appeal. I don't like that whole thing.
No. And also, if you get hit by anything,
you have to replace the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a fucking humongous build that you're going to be dealing with. So, no, yeah, I agree with you on that one, Pedro. Hell no. Hell no. The more panels, the better.
Yeah, more panels, the better. Exactly.
That's what I love about the smart car. You can literally rip it off in pieces and then put it back together in two seconds.
Speaking of smart, we got to go pick it
up. We got to go pick it up from Vic. I know. I totally forgot about my car.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Not so smart.
Oh, and we got
not so smart of us.
I wish we had the Persian Zinger song.
We have a new Zinger sound, too. It's going to be great. It's only going to be used for the real special Zingers.
So we were sent a couple of stories this week. And one is very close to the chest, obviously, because it has to deal with Porsche. And the other one we'll talk about in a moment. But what do you think about this new 911 Turbo S edition with the gold edition, limited 500 units? What's going on with this?
So
what
let
do you
me
think
explain.
What's going on over here?
Let me explain a little bit. So Porsche got a little creative, and they said, you know what? I want to show what I can do with my carbon fiber work on a body of the car, because Porsche is one of the last ones to really add a lot of carbon fiber to the cars, even though they have it inside and some wings and mirrors and here and there. It's not everywhere. Like, whereas McLaren has done full-bodied cars with carbon fiber, Ferrari does like the roof and charges people like $800 million. Like, all of those little things. Porsche, I felt like, was the last one to do it. So I think with this edition, what they're doing is they're showing that their craftsmanship can be up there with anyone else, if you will. So they released a version of the Turbo S, special for collectors, 500 cars. They're saying that they're going to make some for the U.S., some internationally. Their whole thing is, they have a little carbon fiber outside. They have different wheels. They're different colors.
Badging.
They have the badging, which is essentially in any car like that. They added 27 more horsepower to the same engine as before.
No, the torque is the same.
The torque stays the same, and also the top speed stays the same.
Correct.
So nothing changes. And for that, they won almost $100,000 from a base Turbo S. But listen, a base Turbo S. No one's saying a fully well-spec Turbo
how
S.
Much is it?
So you're going to be at, I think it's going to be like between $50,000 and $75,000 more than a Turbo S.
So it's going to be a $300,000 car.
It's going to be I think so. And they look beautiful, dude.
That's what I'm about to say. I'm sitting here going through like all the pictures of it. I love this. Every single thing about it.
I am strongly debating whether or not I should buy one if I can, which I doubt because there's literally only 500, and I'm guessing at that point.
Do they throw in that watch and the luggage as well, or is that?
Oh no,
that's
separate.
Extra. That's so, extra. Oh, yeah, I read
the
extra.
Watch is like 9,000 euros.
Oh, could you imagine like getting it all spec'd out and you get everything that you want? Like, something about like I want to get to that. I want to be able to go and just get every single detail. I don't care about the depreciation or whatever might happen.
This one is gonna come with it.
It's gonna take a hit, but like this is one of those moments that if you're just a guy and you want what you want, like go get it.
This is my problem right now because I'm a guy that likes to get what he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go get it, and I've always wanted a turbo. You guys know this,
yes.
And I've been chasing one.
And this
my
is the
biggest
one.
Problem has been depreciation with a turbo.
Why don't you?
I think that's gonna take a gigantic shit, though.
Why don't you lease a turbo? Just have fun with it and give it back.
No, because it's just so much money for a depreciating asset. That's
and then
just,
you can't get what you want.
Yeah,
you're not speccing it. You're having to get what the dealer ordered.
If anything, I like the gold one of that because it's annoying as fuck.
I really do.
So I don't know. What would you guys, my Porsche nuts that are listening to this, all you, one of you, what? What do you think is going to happen to this car? What do you think is special or not special about the car? And do you think it's just going to be a badged car with nothing else?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to give $300,000.
Oh, my God.
You're going to pay $100,000 more.
I know. I just want to hear something
else. You're going to drive off and then lose $90,000 to $100,000 just driving off, right?
But will it, though?
It's got cool badging on the inside. It's got amazing badging, no?
You're such a piece of shit. I honestly like it. I'm curious about it. I'm actually going to email someone about it right now.
No, I think it's great. I love that it's called Exclusive Series. Like you're not even like holding back on it. You're like when you show up somewhere, you're like, oh, yeah, that's just an exclusive car.
Another tool with a 911. Not knowing.
People, hey, but.
Do you know that 90% of the people don't know.
No, 95% of the people. No, yeah. You see it on YouTube videos. If you put like every time I think, oh, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to make a 911R versus a GT3 RS comparison.
Right.
Or how this and that other 911 compare. And then I get no views. I go, why? And then I forget, no one knows and cares the differences.
Do you know to what level you can actually spec this? Or is it kind of like...
I'm pretty sure it's...
like they come like that.
They already come like that.
They're already predetermined. Yeah. That's depressing. Like, I would... Could you imagine, like, if you got this in that Miami blue and then also... No, what I'm talking about is with the exclusive, like, being able to get this in Miami blue and all the stitching in Miami blue.
But would you get in Miami
get the
blue
watch in
the
Miami
gold?
Blue. Yes.
Really?
Yes, with that car, with all the carbon fiber work on this and then the detail that's inside. Like, could you imagine, like, all of this being, like, blue tints?
Wait, let me ask you this. Can't you spec out a Turbo S and bring it up to this and get it exactly how you want? We saw one at Manhattan.
But Motor then Cars. Again, why would you do that?
Right, but that's the thing. Is like... I would get this gold one over like that highly spec'd one that's at Manhattan Motors.
But you just said you want one made to your spec. Why not spend $300,000 and get a Turbo S exactly?
No. I never said that I'd want.
No, I'm talking about Pedro. Yeah,
I know, but I just like the idea that it's also an exclusive series.
Oh, here we go. Look at how stupid we are.
I know.
We always talk about how stupid people are for exactly the reason that we are talking about.
Do you love that you would be one of 500 that would have this and no one else would
I
have
actually
it?
Do.
I do. I like that, and I also like the idea that you have I like the idea of the matching watches and matching luggage. And
I wish people could see Farshad's face of disappointment. It was incredible.
Because the thing is, it's not that exclusive.
It is not. I don't know.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that exclusive.
You know what?
You can build a car like that.
As we're here, I'm going to email about this car.
We saw a car, Manhattan Motors, right?
I get it. I do.
That dude, that was a turbo, and he spec'd it up to $300,000 exactly the way he wanted it. And you know what? His car is a one of one also. That's even more exclusive than that.
I get it. Look, if it were a choice of me being able to spec out an exclusive edition exactly how I wanted, I would take the exclusive edition, obviously. But if I'm only left to choose three, then I'm going to go and spec out exactly what I want. If I'm pigeonholed into those things, because I don't think it makes it that exclusive. If like out of the 500, there's only three models, right? There's three styles. Like that just doesn't feel right to me.
They're offering it in three colors, right?
Yeah, whatever the three styles and models are. I just want to be able to get what I want, you know. And I felt like that's what they're offering with the exclusive edition, but maybe they're not. You know, Alejandro will find out more information about this. About this later.
Let me make sure this makes sense. What's the dealio with the Turbo S exclusive? Is it worth it? I've always wanted a turbo, but could never justify their depreciation. These are my emails. I'm always straightforward.
I wish they knew who you're emailing to.
But this looks so good. Ha ha ha. Thank you, sir. Hey.
So that's an email to Porsche.
Whenever you guys get this email, just remember that I'm retarded.
Wait, did you already hit send?
Done.
Is there any way to recall?
No, why? No.
Okay, so as that slow moving wreck is happening right here, let's jump into the other big topic that everybody kept sending us this week. And by topic, I mean a Prius. A Prius, ladies and gentlemen, flipping a 4x4 square.
And also, was that not my biggest fear about those fucking G-Wagons in the first place?
Yes.
And the saddest thing about that, okay, so it was in the UK.
Yes.
So it happened in the UK. A 4x4 squared ran through a red light, and a Prius T-boned it, and it basically flipped it over, and the car ended up sideways, and then Vic made a joke that he could fix it for $70,000.
And now it's in Glendale.
And now it's somewhere in Glendale getting fixed. No. So the car ended up like that, and everyone started sending it to us because... A lot of you guys are very familiar with my fear of flipping the cars like that.
Yeah.
And knowing that that's what happens to cars, I've seen a fucking Prius hit a G-Wagon, and this is why it makes me so sad. Exactly the same situation. I saw it while I was eating lunch on Beverly Boulevard. A regular G-Wagon ran through a red light, and a Prius T-boned it, and the Prius got destroyed.
Yeah.
And nothing happened to the G-Wagon. Literally nothing happened through the G-Wagon, dude. And here I am like, Balloon, you cannot have this G-Wagon because it flips over and this and that. And no, the one that flips is mine. Listen.
No. But a regular G-Wagon, you're way less likely to flip than the 4x4 squares. The center of gravity is all the way.
Yeah, but also the tires. They're equally. Yeah. Honestly, they're equally as bad. The thing is, that Prius that hit the one that I saw hit the car directly on the rear wheels. And I promise you, that Prius, dude, it's
just disintegrated.
It was disintegrated. Like, so nothing.
The funny thing
And the guy on the G-Wagon got out of the G-Wagon. He literally, like, it was like a guy that had, like, an RD beard. Gets out of the G-Wagon, looks at the car, and gets in and gets the fuck out. He just let that guy deal with his problems. Yeah. It was incredible.
But it's also the Prius is like a door wedge. You know, it's like, it's like anything it hits, it's gonna scoop right under it and flip it. Like, it's
The funny thing with this one is they're saying that the damage on the 4x4 square is way more than the damage of the Prius.
Oh, what could have happened to the Prius? What's the update there? Hang on. There's an update there.
Update. The 4x4 square had reportedly run a red light before hitting the Prius, and you can see the behemoth being flipped back onto its wheels in the third video below.
Oh, yeah. So there's plenty of videos of people pulling that.
This is probably the most coverage I've ever seen in a wreck.
Yeah.
But, well, like, video coverage, right?
Yeah. And I don't know why people are so fascinated with something that's so obvious that would happen. I remember when Tim Schmee caught the Aventador that flew a little bit after it crashed and, like, landed somewhere else. That was epic because you never see an Aventador fly in the middle of traffic.
Right.
But this, I feel like... Well, don't it hasn't you expect been, that?
Well, you expect it, but you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess that's...
When are we turning that into a land delay? Perfect donor car, no?
That's the question. Yeah. So if whoever the owner of that car is could send it to the U.S., yeah. Please.
Once you get paid out from your insurance...
Of course.
Let us know. Even if it's a salvage title...
We know people.
Yeah,
we know people.
Yeah,
and it's already a Brabus, so that, you know, it's converted for U.S. already, right?
And the roof is already messed up, so you just... Quick cut. Like, this is a perfect donor.
This could be, forget about the Land O'Lakes. That could be a roadster, a full blown roadster.
Yeah. We just need another set of, we just need two more wheels and we're set, right?
Oh, no. That's if you want to make it like the 6x6.
Land O'Lakes. Yeah, Land O'Lakes.
Is the Land O'Lakes a 6x6? Oh, it's not a 6x6. Or a square? No.
Square.
It's a square, but 65.
Okay. You want to make it a Land O'Lakes or do you want to make it a.
I would honestly buy the Land O'Lakes.
So let's turn it into a Land O'Lakes.
Which one of the G Wagons would you buy?
Out of what?
If money was not an option.
6x6.
6x6? No, I'm definitely going Land O'Lakes.
I'm going Land O'Lakes, too.
No, 6x6.
The Land O'Lakes is just so douchey.
6x6 is douchey.
No, 6x6 is way douchey.
Rolling up with six wheels is...
I'm sorry. But the Land, like, you're rolling up just sitting with the top down in the back of a massive G-Wagon with TVs.
You can do a Twitter poll. What's more douchey? Land O'Lakes or...
And we'll revisit.
No, but we're not...
And we'll revisit after we're done with this.
But the question was, what would you rather have?
Okay, then do that as a question.
What would you rather? No, but the question to us is like the douchey thing because we know that. Hang on.
No. That was your reasoning for getting the Land O'Lakes was because, like, you asked us what we would rather have.
Okay.
And then you said because it's douchier, I want the four. You said I want the 4x4 Land O'Lakes.
You want a stunt, right? You want a stunt.
No. There's more to that answer. That's just like the simple, easy answer that everyone wants to hear. You want to know the truth behind it, or like the real douchiness? You're buying these G-Wagons in the first place because you're a tool. However you want to deal with it.
Agreed.
You're buying a car that's not necessary, that just looks cool, whatever. There's no car guy behind that, right? It's just you wanting something stupid. Then you buy a 4x4 square. That's even more stupid already. Then you buy a 6x6, and that's even way more stupid because who needs that?
Yep.
But the Land O'Lakes, the stupidest ride with the douche, like the dumbest thing in the... It's convertible, which should not be convertible. It's also rough as a like a motherfucker, and it's supposed to be a Maybach. Like, if a car doesn't make sense in this world, because the 6x6 actually makes sense. You can go and do all that crazy stuff that, you know, like Greg does on his Instagram, jumping up and down stairs and like all that crazy shit. The Land O'Lakes, you can't even do that. The Land O'Lakes is just like you're riding on the back, which I don't think anyone will have a driver to take him on that Land O'Lakes rather than a Maybach or a Rolls Royce or anything like that. But that's why it's so over the top, stupid. It makes no sense. That's why I love it.
I love it. I just want to ride in the back of it. Like, I have my wife drive it. I'll ride in the back of it and just
Yeah. I want to go on a, like a safari in the back and shoot endangered animals.
Oh,
I went there. Okay,
come on.
So we just moved out of that segment.
All right,
really
I got us out of there.
By the way, I just realized it's good thing that I don't have a lot of money because I would make a lot of irrational car purchases.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad no one does that here.
Depreciation would kill you.
I'm so glad no one does that here. Good.
What is that awkward silence for? Is that you referring to yourself?
Wait, what's...
Nope. Nope.
So there was another story that that we saw about the Tesla event in Detroit.
What was going on with that?
They had an event in Detroit where they were presenting something, and 40-something-year-old man in a pickup truck who was incredibly drunk and on drugs ran over people, and I think he
killed one person, and
two other are critical, or three other are critical, like really bad, and. Sadly, the irony here is that Elon Musk is trying to get rid of that, and that happens at his event. Because that's why you're doing self-driving cars, so you can eliminate the moronness and the human error of being fucked up. And
I will tell you that particular instance where you get someone coming in that having an autonomous car there is a really good thing.
So it was a 73-year-old man. It was a 73-year-old man that died, and a 42-year-old
driver ran him over.
I actually saw another video the other day. Speaking of autonomous driving, there was a kid and a woman walking along the sidewalk, and this car just ran a red light and lost control, and the lady ran and jumped in front of the kid.
That was incredible.
She jumped in front of the kid and took on the impact. Of the car and protected the kid. The kid still, like, he almost lost his legs. They were able to keep his legs and save him, but she's still in critical condition. But I was just thinking about, like, wow.
She's alive?
Yeah, she's alive.
She took the whole hit.
Yeah, she took the hit, like, big time. The video is insane. I'll post it on the website on solomonger.com.
Oh, please.
But it's insane, like, that we have to deal with this. Right, that we have to deal with like these crazy errors and things that can happen, and even though like autonomous driving will cut out a lot of that, who's to say that that's still not gonna happen? What like with things going haywire? Like think of how many times your computer like freezes and crashes and does all the things. Like
you never know. But also the safest way to travel is airplanes, right? And mostly they're driven by a robot. If you guys know what I'm saying.
I agree. The pilot's not flying.
The pilot's not flying anymore. They're just like taking off and landing, and they're saying that now there's quite a lot of planes coming out that can do that too. And they're saying that in a year, a lot of airlines are going to be eliminating pilots from it, or that possibility will be available. So
you know this,
look
means,
at
right?
it. But hang on. But look at it. Just going back to the car thing, you eliminate the problem, which is us and our irrationality, and our feelings, and our stupid decision making. You just make it a controlled decision based on like simple logic, rather complex simple logic, if you will, and avoid these things.
Yeah, but
I really think so. I don't see how. Like, I understand that planes do get like, and especially back in the day when they used to get like the electric charges, and it landed in certain computers from space, and it would kill them, and the plane go down for like 20 seconds, and then go back up. I get that, but that doesn't happen anymore. And
right,
if that doesn't happen while you're flying.
But flying may be the safest travel, but the plane, like even a plane when it's in autopilot, like it's making less decisions than what a car would ever have to make. I'm saying a car, like an autonomous car, would have to make 1,000 times more decisions.
Oh, but you know,
a computer can handle that.
You know, a computer can handle that of all people.
Well, I expect my computer to handle some of the editing sometimes, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, the computer will crash. Like these things happen, and I'm just wondering, like what is the next step in this journey to like preventing more of this from happening?
You gotta look at it this way. Technology at some point eventually is going to get to the point where you're not going to have those problems anymore either way.
Yeah.
You like everything else, you're just debugging, better processors, faster, smaller.
These pilots are going to lose their jobs. What are they going to be, Uber drivers? Great. Now,
No. Because Uber is doing self-driving cars too by 2020.
Bus drivers?
Buses are actually going to be the first thing that people want to automate, actually. Sorry for
cruise ship captains. What are they gonna do?
I am the captain of the Disney cruise.
They're gonna be drone pilots in the film industry.
There you go. That'd actually be dope.
Yeah.
I mean, not for them, but we have more drone pilots. Hey, prices would come down hard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's fucked up. But speaking of that, because you were telling me that, that I wanted to make that sidetrack. You were saying that Elon was talking about the Model X. And
Yeah. So the other thing that I noticed, because he had a shareholder meeting this week, and he was talking about, and he was teasing, the Model Y. And the Model Y is going to be the new crossover SUV that's coming out. They're actually expecting there to be more demand on that car than there was for the Model 3.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I think so. I agree. Come on, who doesn't want an SUV?
And they do now. They revealed a small little silhouette of the Model Y from the front, and it looks like it has different lines to it. And from some of the things that Elon was saying, is we're expecting to see a different looking car, something that looks more like an SUV now, because he admitted that he made a mistake with the Model X, and it's pretty impressive to hear like one of the leaders in like new technology to say, look, I made a mistake, but you know what? I'm going to change it. But his mistake that he said is that he wished that he had created more of an SUV-like Model X, like instead of something that derived out of the Model S. He said the sedan and SUV is not a fluid-looking model. You can't make them look the same. So he's going more traditional with a more traditional-looking SUV with the Model Y. So
I think I honestly love the way the Model X looks. I understand how people look at it and say, "Ah, oh, that's not right." I personally like it, but now I'm glad that I sold mine, because probably depreciation is hitting it harder than ever.
Let me ask you this though: if you took away the Falcon doors, would you still like the way that it looked?
No, but it was part of the package.
Would you have bought it if it didn't have Falcon doors?
No. It's part of the gimmicky bullshit. Otherwise, I would have gotten a Model S. Otherwise, I would have gotten a Model S.
Right.
Mm.
I like the Falcon doors. I like the whole package as a whole. I don't like just the doors
and nothing else. But the Model S does look better than the Model X with doors closed. It looks a lot better.
Yeah, it's easier, if you will, for people to go like, oh, yeah, that's a great-looking car. Yeah. The Model X, you needed to find like the love for it. But I love that Model X. And if they didn't depreciate like the fucking way they did, and also they didn't do the autopilot thing that they did to, like, they didn't do it to me, but they did it to the car, I probably would have kept mine. That's why I bought it. I wanted to hold it for the long run. So when he said, all right, they turn drive themselves, I'm ready, guys. Woo! Yeah. Okay, here we go.
I also read that Elon Musk is a fan of Monty Python. It's an old
British. The show.
Now you can summon your car to do like Monty Python skits. I read that. He tweeted that. It's a true
what?
Thing. It's a true thing.
What?
He tweeted that. Yeah.
You could do what?
The car will now play,
perform?
Yeah, perform Monty Python skits.
Or play.
Like play. Like.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, holy shit.
I don't
shit.
Mean that perform. Like,
the car's like going to start like doing a performance?
No. Like it plays.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Gotcha.
So you sent over another topic to talk about, the 2018 Honda Accord powertrain.
This one.
Tell me about this. What's going on with
this one? This one comes from Farshad and this one comes from me, because we both wanted to talk about this in different ways. So Farghini.
I just want to say, I didn't look in this one at all, because I was completely surprised that you guys would be talking about a Honda Accord.
But here's the thing. We're in the automotive field, right?
Right.
The Accord is the number one selling car.
In the U.S.
Like you can't ignore, you cannot deny that car. They're obviously doing something right. This is the 10th generation of the Accord.
Wow.
And it's going to be the first time all the engines are going to be turbocharged.
Really?
That's like when Honda Accords are turbo. Like,
you
turbo,
know it's
turbos
real.
Are in.
You
like,
know
they're
real.
Not going nowhere.
Yeah, no, yeah. Turbos aren't going anywhere.
I think we're now entering the renaissance of the turbo engines. Because when they first came out, if you got a turbo engine car, or even back, like, not even that long ago, people looked and you were like, oh, you're not getting the most out of your engine. The feel is not right.
You're going to have problems.
Your motor's not going to last anything. Yep.
That was always the misconception.
Always, yeah. And back in the day, obviously, they were more simple and the engines didn't last as long, because that's how they started.
You know, back in the day, I don't know if you had experience with turbos, they would always tell you, before you turn off the car, let it idle for a
little bit.
Do you remember that? The oil and the thing?
When they first came out.
And then I remember a company called HKS, I think. They had a thing you put onto your car, and you turn off your car, but it would leave your car on for a minute, and then it would turn it on.
So there you go. That's how that started.
That's how that, yeah.
And now we're getting into the number one selling car in the U.S. going turbo for the first time.
Which consumers will not even know or care.
That's exactly where I'm going with this. I think we're at that point where turbochargers are not a thing anymore. You don't feel it anymore. It's great. Like, the technology evolved to the point where right now everyone is going turbo.
Perfect example.
Because I thought we were going to throw, honestly, hybrids before, and turbos were going to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But I can totally see how turbos are here to stay for a while.
You said you don't feel it. I think you feel it, but you don't feel the bad side of turbos when they were kind of
Well, that is the problem. Yeah. If you were driving, like, back in the day, at, like, one of the A4s that came out in, what, 2003, 2002?
Yeah.
You would accelerate, and he'd be like, but that the before the that was like 5 seconds, and you're like, okay, when's the and then it would kick in, and I hated that. It was so bad, and all of the cars did that, like the Jettas.
That's the first one.
I experienced it was a friend of mine, because I have my Jetta, had a Jetta, and he had a turbo one, and I had like the one with the 6-cylinder engine, so I thought I was more baller. But we lived in Mexico City, where the altitude destroys everything.
Right, right.
And his car would demolish
the turbo,
me.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Every single time. And even with the... even with that lag, it would destroy me. And I hated it. I hated the feel. I hated that you had to wait. But I also really liked when it kicked in.
It's the greatest feeling in the world. You're now getting the best of both worlds.
Well, you're getting the kicked in from the start.
Right. Let me ask you this. Does your wife notice, because your GLC, that's a turbocharged engine. Does she notice like anything different? Has she brought it up? Has she says, why is there a lag? Blah, 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 blah.
No, of course not.
I also have a Saab that has a 2-liter 4-cylinder turbo. And again, same thing. My ex who drives it, like, she's never complained, because what are they doing? They're going from stoplight to the next stoplight at 20 miles an hour. They actually never extract
the
whatever gotcha. And so I think the Accord now is going to be, most people, they just fucking, it's a commuter car.
No, but it goes. You don't feel it. You don't feel it anymore. The engines just feel way chunkier, being smaller.
I actually would like to try the new Accord, and I think that's a stamp of approval. Like,
yeah, I think that's finally it. Like, that's exactly that. Like, Honda saying, this is really, honestly, the way to go for now.
They also have no other choice. You know that.
Yeah, well,
there is no other choice.
The basic car is going to have a 1.5-liter 4-cylinder engine.
Turbo.
That's crazy, no?
The turbo.
But look how big the car is for that, and you won't feel it, which is fucking
insane.
What
are you talking about? My C-Class and the GLC have a 2-liter 4-cylinder turbo. Did you know that?
2-liter, dude.
2-liter. Yeah.
But I'm saying this is a 1.5. That's ridiculous.
The 1.5 to 2-liter 4-cylinder turbo, it's going to be here to stay, and it's going to be in a lot of cars you wouldn't expect.
Well, because then before you know it, they're going to start throwing batteries to those small engines.
Exactly. And you know what? Now you might even go down to a liter. Right,
I actually believe that
you get in the 0.85 to 0.9 range, you're like smart territory.
They're already, actually, that's right, they're already in that range.
I'm gonna mega charge my smart car.
No, I think it's amazing, and I think that we do need to give turbos a break, right? We need to.
I think it's finally that time when we all have to say, like, oh, that's a turbo, it doesn't matter anymore.
But there's nothing you can do about it. I just realized the tuner guys on the Civics and the Accords and stuff, they're actually going to have a great time.
Yeah, they will.
Because those turbos are so easy to modify.
Because they are keeping the 6-speed manual, right?
Yeah.
They're keeping
that
around.
That's another thing.
They are, but I think the biggest problem we're going to see here is because we're having such small engines put in the cars with the turbos.
Yeah.
If you add chunky turbos into the small engine,
you
probably are going to blow up those engines
easier. No question. But before, like if you had a Civic, an SI, how did you get more power? You put a K&N air filter, you put an exhaust, you got like 10 horsepower, right? Yeah.
Well, the exhaust, the K&N, it's like 30 horsepower, but to the wheels.
But now you got a computer, and you could be like, all right, turbo, open up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah,
longer.
Yeah, of course. No. That exists. That's a real thing. Even then, I think the tuners are going to blow up a few engines here and there. Now with the smaller,
that's
going to
be exciting. That's going to be exciting times, guys. I'm really.
Hey, what about that Ferrari we just drove?
Oh my
Talk
god!
Talk about turbos.
Oh my
did
god!
Did you feel any lag? Anything?
No, it's a 488, dude. But this one was special. I don't want to talk about it more because I don't want
to
spoil it.
I have a ton of pictures.
God,
on
that was
like
special.
That.
Yeah. So the video for that one's going to come out next Thursday. So we'll have that out next Thursday.
That was special. It's like an Eva review of the Dodge Viper AC.
That was the meatiest sounding Ferrari that I think we've ever heard together.
Ever.
And the that, most, I think the most beautiful 488.
Oh, yeah. No
that
question.
That line in the
everything,
center made everything.
Everything about, yeah. Let's just not spoil it for anyone. Let's yeah. just let's just
Speaking
move
Speaking of,
on.
We actually saw a 488 at Starbucks this morning. Me and Farshad.
I read it. By the way, I park my car and I see an S-Class with the little transmitter. Logo. No, the transmitter in the front. I'm like, it's gotta be Pedro. And then I see a 488 right in front of the.
And you're like, what are the odds? Pedro territory all over the place.
Yeah.
Are we going to jump into Farshad? I see you with your cue cards.
Jumping into Farshad's headlines.
By the way, we're going straight into the first. We're just going right in.
Okay, here we go.
BMW 7 Series is being recalled because the doors may fly open.
What?
Yeah, let me read this again. BMW 7 Series is being recalled because the doors might fly open.
BMW's having a rough time, right?
They're really...
What? How? What?
And the best part, only the cars with soft closed doors.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
no.
They're saying the system, it just goes... Like,
haywire and spits the doors open?
Yeah.
God. Hey, it's never been a better time to be a BMW owner. Honestly, I've gotten so many messages saying, you don't know how to drive. You don't like BMW. You like...
How can we drive when we can't even safely stay inside?
They're all being recalled at the time. They're all being recalled at the time for different things. This CS7 series problem is just the doors.
By the way, BMW's like, just bring in your car. We'll just do all.
Hey,
that's
a good thing though. You can go in there and use that as leverage to get a good deal on a 7 series.
Oh, Pedro, you need to be super careful in your next Uber ride.
Ooh,
we can't lose. We lose.
No. Put your seatbelt on, motherfucker. Done, yeah, and
I'll sit in the center seat.
Yeah, you better.
I'll sit on the hump.
You're done. No more BMWs for you. Okay, here we go. This is from England. Grandma pulls old hairdryer radar gun trick to slow drivers down. So in her street, people were speeding. She took her hairdryer, okay, and just stood on her porch like this, like pointing it out
No.
And then everyone would everyone would stop.
I actually saw that too. And you know that this woman is regarded as a neighborhood hero, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right
of
now.
Course, yeah, of
because
course.
They're like, she stopped all the fast cars. Now, if you're driving down that fucking street and you see, listen, God bless her soul. She's trying to do the right thing and whatever. But if you saw a woman like that looked like, she doesn't look anything like a police officer.
Or she doesn't look like anything, she has any sort of authority. How about that?
Or any sort of a job. How about that? Right? Do you agree? I almost killed Farshad with this one. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Nothing. And she's like literally in her pajamas.
Yeah. No joke.
Pajamas. I shit you not, Pedro.
Yeah.
Pajamas. Pointing a blow dryer, right, to cars as they come down, and you can see the wire.
What is wrong with all of those drivers? I'm pissed off at the drivers.
That's what I'm saying. How are you falling for this?
No, I'm not even pissed off at them for falling for this. I'm pissed off at them for not pulling over and going to see if there's something wrong with this lady and helping her. Like, what? These guys are terrible people, these drivers. Like, help the
crazy,
elderly
help
in your community.
Help the crazy cat lady.
Oh,
man, that was an amazing one. All right, this next one. This is an amazing video that we watched yesterday. A car makes a left turn onto a street, and then the guy becomes unconscious, and then another car... He starts getting a seizure, but he's unconscious.
Yeah.
Another guy sees it, gets out of his car, runs to this car as it's rolling down, jumps through the window, and stops the car.
Shut up.
Yep.
So the video's on Salamandra.
You put it on Salamandra.com.
So this is what I want to know, guys. Who pulled it off better? Alejandro or this guy?
Oh, come on. Who pulled it? So I'm the guy that had a seizure? Oh.
You're the guy that had all the problems.
Wait, am I correct? I don't remember. Did Pedro just basically go like when he got out of it and he noticed that the car, he basically just went,
No. So I watched the video over and over and over and over again. What he does is he realizes that he's not stopping the car and that he's not jumping in. Yeah. He definitely does that.
Yeah.
But he does try to keep the door open.
No. I didn't realize.
He held the door. That's what I was like, all right, I'm jumping
in. I didn't realize what was going on, okay? So I was facing one direction. I didn't realize what was going on. Alejandro dives in. He's already in the car. I said, you know what? For Alejandro to actually stop this thing, I need to get out of the way and keep this door open. So I hold the door open. Once I see he's in the car, I get out of the way, and I just fall to my knees.
The best part is you were on a high because you had just done – you had just executed your
donut.
Which still wasn't that great.
Yeah, no, but you got out of the car on that high. Like, yeah. And then you were like, oh, and everyone's just like, ah, oh.
That was great.
That was amazing.
That was a fun trip.
That was a fun trip.
The video doesn't, our video doesn't show exactly the, I don't know, it's weird. It doesn't show the dramaticness of it.
Because you had to be from a little bit more of a distance.
Distance
it was
yeah,
too
yeah.
close
yeah,
to
yeah,
the
yeah,
door
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
you, and you follow the truck too.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
you're not showing the movement
yeah.
of a standstill. But it was funny as fuck.
Yeah,
the
it was funny.
The great thing looking at it back is, I like my YouTuber mind. I just grabbed the camera that I had in my hand, and the whole time it's pointing at something. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I jumped in. I'm like, oh. Still pointing the camera forward. I get out of the car, still pointing it at Pedro. I'm like,
yeah, great. And then when I had the camera, and then when it first started, I was like, I got to make a decision. Go in and help or film.
And you made the right one.
I was like, I'm filming this. I got to get this. I got to get this on camera. I got to get this.
Your laugh was killing me.
I couldn't stop.
It was like turbocharged.
So go to salamandra.com, find that video. Let me know who did it better. The soft better.
Oh, that was a good toss.
There we go. Porsche's in the news.
Yeah, they are.
Always.
Porsche did a study.
And?
And most patients in the hospital or medical condition would allow robots to operate on them. I'd let a robot do some stuff to me.
Can you explain to me something?
Hang on.
Why is Porsche in the news?
Why is Porsche asking about
it? That has nothing to do with it.
Hey, guys. I know we don't make any equipment for doctors or anything. We actually just make cars. But I'd be interested in knowing if you would let a robot operate on you.
Would
you have anal sex with a bear?
No, you
I'm
know what?
Just curious. What? I'm just curious.
Maybe this is a sign. Maybe this is a sign that Porsche is about to start hand building all of their engines again, and they need to repurpose their robots. And they're thinking about the medical
procedure.
Can you imagine?
Get a 918 robot.
They unautomate all of their systems to go and automate like the doctors. They're like, we can't. They're like, we can't build the cars. But surgery will be fine. That's a new one.
A new one. Audi's in the news.
Really?
2018 Audi A8 can be driven with the engine off at 100 miles an hour. So your dreams have come true. Start, stop at 100 miles an hour.
How?
That's exactly
what
it is.
How?
So it's got a new 48-volt battery system thingy in there, and it's got a little battery in the trunk. And so when you're coasting, it turns off the engine.
So
and,
the 48... Volt battery will act at
100 miles an hour.
You know, whenever you're going 100 miles an hour.
You let off the gas, you'll still go.
I really hope that that's not the case. I hope it doesn't have that same feeling of like the...
Auto start, stop. You're like at 100. You're like, here we go. You're like,
I hate stopping at a red light and it goes...
I think no. It'll give you the feeling like the, you know, the 918 and all of those cars. Just when you're going, you'll feel like a Tesla at that point.
There's no like abrupt transition between.
No, there's not.
It's actually Audi. It's the same technology.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's also why it's a Meteor battery, is because it keeps it from doing that, because it can happen quicker. Like on the system that we have right now is
So are you excited about the 100 mile an hour stop.
No.
Start, stop, go.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all.
And last news, Acura made some news here. Next generation Acura NSX could be full electric in 2023. Is Acura going to be around in 2023?
That might be a more important question.
I think why
are they planning for so long?
I mean, I
know why they're planning like so far ahead, but like,
Why, in this world,
how the NSX do?
The first one did amazing. The first one was
the first one actually depreciated like a motherfucker until he touched rock bottom,
and then
it skyrocketed back up.
That one's actually about to. That's about to hit the 25-year mark, right?
The NSX, yeah.
In the US, you can import them.
Yeah.
All right, but weren't they street legal here?
The Acura NSX, but the Honda NSX.
Because they were Honda everywhere. There's some
that still happens. You know that, right? That the NSX, it's Honda everywhere else. Yeah. And here's just an Acura.
Let me ask you this. Can you get a Honda NSX into the States?
If it's 25 years or older, yeah.
No, the new Honda NSX.
I don't think so.
Because
if the car is just built for outside of the U.S., they don't do all of the extra stuff that they do for the U.S. cars.
Also, if the Acura NSX is depreciating this much, you're not doing much better at a Honda.
But no, I'm just I'm just wondering. Like, I'm curious. Like, if it's the same car, it just has a different badging on it. Would it be worth more in a country where it actually doesn't exist or it wasn't made for?
I see.
That's the question that I'm having. Is the Honda NSX more valuable in the States than the Acura NSX would be in the States?
Got it. I don't think in the States, because they can't, people can't associate Honda with.
We still have to get one of these cars, though. We have to. I just want, even if it's not buying one or you're not getting one, I want to drive one. I want to take one out. I want to feel it. I want to see what it's all about, because I keep feeling like there's something special about the car
really
that we're missing.
We just really never try.
Yeah.
Like, we always say, oh, the NSX and high, like, accurate. We just don't try. Like, have you reached out to anyone about an NSX?
No, because I saw that you post things about an NSX. So I was like,
I can't reach out to Acura because they're never going to.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
They'll be like, yeah, we'll give you one in 2023.
No, no, no. It's Acura. Acura. Would you loan us a car? Yeah, for sure. What do you need it for? To make a video. Of course. How many miles are you going to put on it? You know, like 50. Is there any way you can just come and test drive it in a straight line, and there's like a guy next to you? No,
in the car, yeah.
Oh, that's gonna be it.
And that is my headlines for today.
Those were great, Farghini.
Well done, Farghini. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
That's all we have for today.
That's pretty good.
That's it, guys. I think we made it almost to an hour.
It was a light one.
Yeah, it was definitely a less than meaty episode. I've said meaty a lot today.
I felt long.
I don't know why.
I felt long.
Yeah, thank you, Farshad.
I heard that before, haven't you, Farshad?
I have. I have. So can I go to BJ's now?
Yeah, go to BJ's, get your pizookie, have a good day. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. You can check us out on salamandra.com. It's a brand new interface. Go comment, go give people penis points, do everything that you can
upload
on it.
Your videos,
upload your videos.
Posts,
it's a social community images. Where you can just talk about cars and hang out with us, and we'll come in and comment. We'll follow you. You follow us back. There's a lot of fun stuff happening. More to keep rolling out over the next week or so, but follow us there. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Come see us everywhere. You can email me topics at hitapedro@gmail.com. I'm Pedro. That's Farghini. And you guys all know Alejandro. See you next time.
See ya!
Boop, boop.
Okay, here we go.